You may be seated. Now we ask Brother Frank that he serves us with a word. Praise and thanks be unto the Lord our God for all his grace and faithfulness and for the great privilege that we also today can be together like this, hearing God's word, believing it by faith, receiving it with a desire that everything what God's word tells us and what is promised therein, that it really finds fulfillment with all of us. We are greeting very warmly and we welcome you very warmly. We have also greetings from Brother John from Bucharest. We have greetings from Brother Etienne Genton. We have greetings from Brother Lackner. Greetings from, yes, from half of the world. Greetings from Brother Wallström. Greetings from Brother Graf, from Brother Motika, from Johannesburg, from Cape Town, from Brother Daniel. Greetings from Brother Manfred, from Santiago. Greetings from everywhere. We're just so grateful. From Brother Rico Bear, from Benin, from Kinshasa. Yes. And from other countries. And we also welcome all those who are here today for the first time. We have our beloved brother Buyor from Ghana, and we would like that he stands up wherever he is. Brother Boyo from Ghana, this is my friend, the daddy of our brother Paul Boyo, who yesterday had his wedding. And so the occasion was given that our brother also visited us. Then we have Brother Hilton here from Cape Town. Where is Brother Hilton? This is our brother Hilton from Cape Town. Then we have Brother Israel here from Canada. Brother Israel from Canada, God bless you in our midst. We have brothers here from England, from France, from Belgium, Austria, Switzerland, and today we also have even visit from Finland and from Sweden. God bless you. Then we have visit from Poland. Brother Dujak from Poland is here. Please stand up so that all can see you. Just welcome all of you. Where is the brother? Not yet here. Then he, of course, will come with delay. Then we have two brothers here from Morocco, who are now staying in France. But both come from the Islam. And also for this, we are grateful that God calls out from all peoples, tongues, and from all religions, because thus it is written that God wanted to bless all. This was the first promise which the Lord gave to Abraham. In thee shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So, just feel at home from Czech Republic, from Slovakia, as we said, from Austria, from everywhere. God bless us all from the riches of His grace. This time I actually have a very tremendous report to give unto you from my Latin American missionary trip. Brother Leonard, please stand up. Where is Brother Leonard? This is Brother Leonard Liefese from Brussels. Together we made a trip from Mexico, then Guatemala, then El Salvador, and my last station was Lima, Peru. We experienced wonderful things. Together with Brother Menard, I was already in some countries and cities, but this time within the message, and it were all assemblies and brothers which I never met before. And it was just a reception as one seldom sees it. The hearts were open, and so the word of the Lord, really, as one could judge it, it could accomplish on the spot for what it was sent for. We thank also especially our brother Erwin Pacheco, who translates into the Spanish language, so that now we have a large number of cities and brothers which were added, who can now be included in the looking after. We're just so happy about that God's word runs, and that that mankind is being reached. And we're also greeting today from this place all, in all peoples, tongues, and nations. It was a large number who were phoning in, that they today will tune in to witness and experience together with us. Some remarks were that they wanted to see in a film and not just a fixed image over the internet. But also this we will someday manage to do so. We have our brothers who are looking after these things. Now perhaps some things what happened to me on my last trip. Probably I have said it before, but in this little device I have all the 1,159 sermons of Brother Branham. And this time, I had this device with me. And also, for the first time, I listened to sermons and services from the year 47 and 48. Only one from 48 I knew already. All the others from 47 and 48, they were also new to me. And I thank our brother Morvat in Zurich, who gave me this wonderful gift. And this device one can take into the aircraft, one can listen, and the headphone is very comfortable. And I could say, I almost listened day and night, and I have heard what I never heard before. And I experienced what I never experienced in such a way before. Namely, that Brother Branham, that he was led by God in such a way to speak out the healing to the sick ones. And all, without exception, all were healed on the spot. This one just has to listen to once how it took place in 46, 47 and 48 and probably also 49. How it took place in the ministry of Brother Branham, and how he almost referred in every sermon, he referred to his calling, especially of the 7th of May 1946, and in connection with this, that he was told, as Moses were given two signs, so you are given two signs. What impressed me in a special way, what overwhelmed me, was that Brother Branham said, the same living God who came down to Moses and to the people of Israel as the angel of the covenant, and who was leading out the children of Israel and who was accompanying them, the same angel, the same Lord, the same God is on this platform here today. And it happened on the spot. You all know, religion is also in Christendom. But that God on the spot could make the blind see and the lame to walk, that God on the spot healed hundreds, 200, 300 people until the late night Brother Branham was praying. And it happened. I had to say, so this, in such a measure, also in the four Gospels, it is not reported in such a way. Until I then have read John 20, where it says, if everything would have been reported of what the Lord did, then the earth could not contain the books. And then I was again satisfied that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And this, that what he did then, this happened in our time. And this overwhelms us. This has something to say to us. It was not the man. It was the Lord God, who could use him in such a wonderful way. And what was connected with it? That our attention would be drawn to the promised word, and with this to the message of the hour. And we all know, Moses, of course, didn't get the signs and the confirmation for his sake, but that the people believes that God has sent him. Also this was time and again emphasized, and suddenly, really, as a revelation from the blue sky, that's how one could say, it happened really with me. I time and again was listening and hearing that Brother Ram said, if you believe that I am the prophet of God, and also if you believe that I am from God, that God has sent me, and I was thinking by myself, man of God, probably it would have also worked without this question. And suddenly out of the blue sky, by inspiration, the following thought came to me. Just imagine, there would have people come into the healing line who were thinking by themselves, oh, this is a charlatan. And he would have prayed, and they would have been healed. And then they would have gone home with a thought, oh, this charlatan, he did quite a good job. No, God does not give his glory to another. Servants of God have the right to ask, do you believe that I was sent from God? Do you believe that I'm standing here by the commission of God? Yes. So, this was really tremendous. I repeat, just imagine, people would have come into the healing line and would have thought by themselves, this or the one, and would have been in doubt, is this not right? Is it not right? Is this man from God? Is he not from God? Then most probably nothing would have happened at all. Then they would have gone home. But that it could happen, and that God could confirm his word, therefore it happened. And I'm just overwhelmed, overwhelmed of that, what God did by his grace. To this, I just would like to read from Exodus, chapter 4, Exodus 4, verse 1, and Moses answered and said, but behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice, for they will say, the Lord has not appeared unto thee. And connected with it, the Lord didn't send you at all. They will not believe me. And then God gave the answer, yes, they will believe. I will give you two signs. If they will not believe the first one, then they will believe the second one. Verse 8. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign. It was about the conviction. And then Brother Branham was emphasizing Hebrews 11, verse 1. That faith, shall we read it? Let us read it in Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is faith. Abraham did not yet see anything, but he believed. And then he has seen. Verse 12 in Exodus chapter 4. Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And then the connection we have here, the purpose of the sending, verse 22 and 23. And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, thus saith the Lord. Moses had the thus saith the Lord. In the same way, Brother Branham had the thus saith the Lord, the same God. And as at that time the sending for the Church of Israel what was addressed to the Church of Israel, so today the sending is addressed to the Church of the Living God. In connection with this, it's written here in the second part from verse 22, Israel is my son, even my firstborn, and I say unto thee, let my son go, that he may serve me. All these words are known to us. Then we go to the leading out, in Exodus chapter 14. Here it says in Exodus 14 verse 18 or 19, and the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them, and the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. One can read on. Let us go back to Exodus 4. Here the angel is the Lord God himself. Exodus chapter 4. And here we read Exodus, no, it's chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3, verse 2. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And listen closely now. And when the Lord saw, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him as a flame of fire. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses, brothers and sisters, dear friends, God reveals himself. And when he appears in the shape of an angel, then he is still the angel of the covenant, or the Lord God. Now back to Exodus, chapter 14. And here, just the last verses. Exodus 14, from verse 29. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. A miracle. Moses lifted the rod, God divided the sea, and two walls were there, one on the right hand, one on the left, and the children of Israel went through on dry land. But listen what is written here in the last verse. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord, and listen closely, and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. All the world can say, I believe God. All the world. But do they really believe God? Whoever believes really God, he believes the promises which God has given. and his part in their fulfillment. Everything else is a faith which people make up. What did our Lord say in the Gospel of John in chapter 14? You believe in God, believe also in me. That's what it's all about. That one believes God and receives him in such a way as he reveals and manifests himself in that moment. John 14, verse 1. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. The people of Israel trusted in God, believed in God. But now God revealed himself in the flesh. Now was fulfilled what God predicted. Now the plan of salvation was taking up shape. Now God was at work. And it is written, he came to his own, and his own received him not. And why did they not receive him? Because they did not believe his forerunner who prepared the way of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, we could read a large number of scripture. For instance, well known to all of us, the word from Second Chronicles. Just verse 20, 2 Chronicles, verse 20. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, hear me, O Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, believe in the Lord your God, so shall ye be established. Believe his prophets, so shall ye prosper. It's just like that, that God didn't take the wind and the sun to bring his message to the people, to his people. God from the very beginning had prophets. And as it is written in Hebrews chapter 1, from verse 1, that God spoke to the fathers by the prophets in diverse manners. At the end of the days, he spoke to us in his Son. And yet it is written, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord. And yet it is written, God has set into the church apostles, prophets, pastors, teachers, and evangelists. And yet it is written in Matthew 23, behold, I send you prophets and scribes, of which you will kill some. One never can play out one word against the other word. One always has to have the connection from one word to the other, and then recognize, why did the Lord say here that one, and here he said that? To whom did he speak? How is the build up of what he said? The same applies to all who know the message of the hour, who believe that Brother Branham was the man sent from God. And yet, taking some statements so badly out of context and twisting them unto their own destruction. And this is the big trouble. Whoever looks once into our email box, the most questions are about Revelation 10, about 1 Thessalonians 4, of the return of the Lord. Brothers and sisters, one doesn't have to be a preacher. One doesn't have to be anything to understand that also 1 Thessalonians 4 is very clear. It's not even permitted, not even possible to read something else into it than that what is written therein. And the primary concern is in 1 Thessalonians, I just say it for those who are in trouble all over the world. And here in 1 Thessalonians, in chapter 4, the main concern is addressed to those, or is referred to those who are asleep. Three times it's written in a row of those who sleep. And this one just has to keep in mind and consider. One has to know what is the subject, what was said to this subject, what is it about what Paul is writing here. 1 Thessalonians 4, from verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep. They had trouble with those who are asleep. What happens with them? How will it be? And the answer was, don't you worry about those who are asleep. God didn't leave us in darkness about it. It continues, that ye sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. Why being sad? We have the blessed hope. In verse 14, for if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, them also which sleep, this is the subject, even so, who sleep in Jesus, will God bring with him? Why should we be worried about it? God has taken all the responsibility for the living and for the dead, of course. And then it continues from verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This I always like. By the word of the Lord. That we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not precede them which are asleep. This is the subject. I don't know about what the brothers are worried about. Why they misunderstand Brother Branham so badly, who one single time in all his 1,159 sermons, he said that the shout in 1 Thessalonians 4, that it is the message. And out of this they derived that since the opening of the seals, the time of grace is over and that the Lord is already descending. Sometimes one really has to remain calm and not and asking oneself, why and how do these people read their Bible? They read the Bible with their mind. They read what Brother Bram said without getting clarity from the word what actually the subject is. And then verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. Let it be the message. And when the Lord then comes, when the shout goes forth, when the voice of the archangel sounds forth with the trump of God, yeah, all right, if the shout was the message and still sounds, but most surely the voice of the archangel was not heard yet, and the trump of God also not, and those who are asleep are also not here. Yes? Then let us be satisfied. Then we come back to the word of God, to the simplicity. God is in simplicity. And it's written here that the Lord himself will descend. Here it's written, black on white, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Before, three times, those who are asleep are the subject. Don't you worry about those who are asleep. And then, when the Lord returns, then those who are asleep, those who sleep in Jesus, they will rise first. And then we, which are alive and remain, shall be changed and be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Please, brothers all over the earth, receive it. God's word is always connected to reality. The Lord will bring with him those who are asleep. The dead in Christ shall rise first. You all know, presently, all the perfected saints have not yet the resurrection body. They have a heavenly body, just like this body. But in this heavenly body, they cannot eat and not drink. They just exist like all the angels, like all the cherubims and seraphims. But in the moment of the return of Jesus Christ, our Lord, then the resurrection takes place. And then we have a resurrection body, and we are transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. And we will again eat and drink, and together with the Lord, we will sit together with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, celebrating the Lord's Supper in glory. God just made it this way, and we're happy with it, and we thank him for it, that he is watching over his word to fulfill everything. I also think on another word, which is always time and again being questioned in 1 Corinthians chapter 7. We all know, here it speaks of that, that letters were answered. Paul was answering letters, 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me. And then he writes the answers until he comes then to verse 8. And here, please pay attention to the following. When Paul says, this say I, and when he then says, not I, but the Lord says. Also, here one has to pay attention to while reading the word of God. 1 Corinthians 7, verse 8. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. Here Paul says, this I say. It's nice. It's good if they abide even as I am. He was, of course, not married. It was his right. But when we read on in the same chapter, then he says, in verse 26, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 26. I suppose, therefore, that this is good for the present distress. So, it was written around 70 after Christ, when the Romans had destroyed Jerusalem already. And really, there was a great trouble in all of the country. And he makes the recommendation just because of this desperate situation. If all would have lived in an economic wealth, then he could say most surely, he who likes to marry, let him marry as soon as possible. But let us come back to the main thing of this question in verse 10. And unto the married I command. And then comes the little correction or emphasis. Yet, not I, but the Lord. Now he refers to the thus saith the Lord. That what now follows, not I say, but this is thus saith the Lord. Let not the wife depart from her husband. And now comes the verse which all until today all have misunderstood who have dealt with this subject. Verse 11. But if she departed, let her remain unmarried, or be reconciled to her husband, and let not the husband put away his wife. And we know where the trouble is here, that since 1979 it was misinterpreted, and one just has said a believing wife can separate. I made myself the effort. I looked it up in the encyclopedia. I looked up Brockhaus. I looked it up also in study Bibles. I looked up this subject, and it's written literally. However, if she already separated, then she shall remain unmarried. Here, it's not a recommendation for the future, not a charter for the future, but if it has happened already at the moment where this letter arrives in the church, if it happened already, then remain unmarried or be reconciled to your husband. It was not told to any wife, if you consider to separate your husband, then, of course, you can refer to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 11. Namely, if she would like to separate, and this is the same satanic lie as it was told to Eve in the Garden of Eden. Brothers and sisters, the moment has come where we have to read God's word precisely to really understand what was said and what was meant. And also with such a scripture, one has to go to all the other scriptures. So, may the brothers who have trouble with this in all the world, may they know that here it was described what has happened already, and not that to some sister is given the right to tell to her husband, listen, bye-bye, I'm going on my own ways, because thus it is written. However, if she depart, it's not written for the future. It's only written in reference to the past. And this one just has to be corrected worldwide so that the people know what is really written. And you can read up all the other scriptures. A wife is bound by the law of God as long as she lives. One has to take all the other scriptures to it. If one takes only one scripture, then we have big trouble. And especially when the enemy misinterprets it to us. So, back to the word, and back to all the scriptures which deal with the same subject, so that we are all being taught by God and are coming into the unity of the faith and of the knowledge. The same is with Revelation 10. It's not even necessary that something is being interpreted or being hung into the air, but it happens in the sequence as it is written there. Namely, that the Lord, as the angel of the covenant, will descend. And when someone tells you something that tells you that the seven thunders are revealed, such a man, you can actually tell him to back off. Yes, only in the moment. Only, and I'm really asking you, please, brothers and sisters, worldwide, may the fear of God be given to us before His Word, that one really respects the Word of God as it is written. Revelation 10 just has to be read with a sound mind, without being biased. And then one notices that only then, when the Lord, as the angel of the covenant, puts His feet on land and sea, roaring as a lion, then the seven thunders utter their voices. For what all this bluster? For what all this misleading? And then even referring to the prophet. Brothers and sisters, the time is just here. I will time and again say it. Also, the greatest prophet is only a way preparer. The Holy Ghost alone leads into all truth. The greatest prophet can preach the greatest revelations if the same Spirit of God is not resting on us and giving us the same revelation, what then? It is just necessary that we have a personal connection and relationship with God. Prophets had them, had it. Brother Branham had it. Paul had it. And we need the personal fellowship with God. The experiences which are reported to us in the Holy Scripture. And then also the faith that with the message, the leading out and the calling out takes place. As then with Moses, so also now. With the commission was of course connected, let my people go. And then we read, the pillar of fire went before them, and when the enemies were behind them, then the pillar of fire went behind them to protect. And Israel had light, and the enemies were in darkness. With a divine message with which Brother Branham was sent, the leading out takes place from all bondage. No slavery anymore, no yoke anymore, which suppresses us somehow also doctrinally, but being pardoned by God. Let my people go. Let my son go. Let my church go. Just let go. And this happens now, that the Lord calls His church out. But the most important point is this, brothers and sisters, that we would be connected with God. And I don't say this to criticize, I say it with pain. Many, especially the brothers of the English-speaking world, and in particular of the North American continent, they are connected to Brother Branham, the prophet, the messenger, and they don't know the God of the prophet. And that what was said, they misunderstood. And then they call it the message of the hour. The message of the hour is in this book. Here nothing can be changed. Nothing can be added. Nothing can be taken away. Here the whole counsel of our God is contained. Brother Kupfer came today into my office and he said, Brother Frank, I was reading Psalm 33, and I told him, Brother Kupfer, look here, I noted it down, Psalm 33, I have already read. Both of us, we rejoiced. Here in Psalm 33, verse 10 to 12, it says, the Lord bringeth the counsel of the heathen to naught. He maketh the devices of the people of none effect. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. And we can say, the Lord is our God. The Lord is our God. In the second part, from verse 12, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. To the people who can say, the Lord is my God. That we really became the inheritance, the possession of God, having made our personal experiences with the Lord. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul writes something wonderful. And altogether, the Holy Scripture is God's holy word. But there are passages which emphasize certain points. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 from verse 14. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 14. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him who died for them and rose again. Tell me, is this our decision today, that we all want to live for him, for our Lord, who died for us? That of us can be said, now I live no more, but Christ lives in me. Brothers and sisters, I say it once again, especially to all our ministering brethren all over the earth. Whoever died with Christ has no own will anymore, no own knowledge. He doesn't want to know anything anymore. He knows nothing anymore. He is inspired by God, gets the word revealed, and is being led by the Holy Spirit into all the truth. Whoever still thinks that he knows something, I don't know how it will be with such a person. May he hear it now. It happened 1976. When we had here a minister's conference, and a brother from New York came to me and he said, Brother Frank, I would like to preach the seven thunders. I said, all right, but first come with me in this prayer room here. And this we also did. We went here into the prayer room and I was asking, beloved brother, tell me, what are the seven thunders? He said, it's very simple. 2 Peter chapter 1, the seven virtues which Peter lists there, these are the seven thunders. I said, oh, come on. You don't have to tell it anyone. The seven virtues are the seven virtues. At the end, he even had to laugh about himself, that he even said such a thing. Such people, I really wished I would have them all before me one day, to call them back to Christ, to call them to their senses, back to Christ. Not to fall for their own conceit, but that they believe the word of God and being led by the Holy Spirit into the word of truth. Here, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 16. Wherefore, henceforth know we no man according to the flesh. No. Though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. Also we, brothers and sisters, we may know no one anymore according to the flesh. Just believing that God made all things new, and where it is not yet happened, there it will still happen. Because our Lord says, behold, I make all things new. Important is that we forgive where something is to forgive, so that we are forgiven. Very important. Whoever thinks that somebody did something to him which needs forgiveness, go and tell it to your brother or to your sister. And I am convinced before God, if really there's guilt and if a transgression has taken place, and if somebody did something to someone else, that all we who are here today, that we can say with all our hearts, forgive me, I didn't mean it that way. Whoever received forgiveness, he passes on forgiveness. But here, in verse 17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And now it comes, verse 18. But all this is the work of God. Who can then glorify? Who can then glorify? If this is all the work of God, what happened with us and in us and through us, all this is the work of God. So, let us let God work in us. By the blood of the Lamb, by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, also tonight. Not only to observe the Word, but to experience it. And brothers and sisters, under the preaching, we must tune into what is being preached and saying, dear Lord, give it to me, work in me, that it takes place in me and with me. As we were reading it here. And then Paul writes the wonderful words after he said, all this is the work of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. The ministry of reconciliation. And it continues here in verse 19, for God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Has reconciled, not will reconcile. It is finished. It has taken place. Not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing trespasses. Blessed is he whose trespasses are forgiven and whose sin is covered. Do not steer around in the past, but thank God for the reconciliation, for the forgiveness, for the grace, and for salvation. And even more is written here, and has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Moses was an ambassador, a sent one. Prophets were sent ones. John the Baptist was a man sent from God. Paul, at his calling, he was told, wherever I will send you, namely far away to the Gentiles. Brother Branham, a man sent from God. We didn't yet count how often our Lord said, as Son of Man, in his ministry, he said, he who sent me is with me. He who sent me is with me. As a sent one, he was prophet. For Moses said, a prophet like unto me, God will rise from among your brethren. Also in this regard, one really has to pay attention, in what connection does this certain word belong? When is our Lord Lamb of God, advocate, mediator, king, priest, and prophet, all these various scopes of duties are shown to us here in this book. And then one just has to see where does what belong. But the most important is that we let ourselves be placed into the plan of salvation. That we are having part in that what God is doing right now. That we personally experience the forgiveness, the grace, the reconciliation, the salvation. That we can say, I am reconciled with God. And of course also with all who receive reconciliation. That we find ourselves again in the Holy Scripture, finding ourselves in such words. In verse 20, it continues, Now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as his sent ones, as though God did beseech you by us. God beseeches by us. And then we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. Verse 21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. This is a tremendous statement. Not only justified, but that we might be made the righteousness of God. Colossians 1, in view of the Lord's Supper, which we'll have tonight. Colossians 1. Here we have the wonderful words from verse 14. In some Bibles, in verse 14 is missing what I will now add here. In whom we have redemption. And here it really says in the original, through his blood. Sad but true. It's missing here in my Bible and in some other Bibles. Here it belongs. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. And then it's being listed. And then in verse 19, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, it is a finished work of God. And to this scripture belongs Ephesians chapter 2, verse 3. Ephesians chapter 2 from verse 3. Oh, it's verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, has quickened us together with Christ. We were dead in sins and trespasses, and in Christ, yes, we experienced it now. It happened for us when our Lord shed his blood for us on the cross of Calvary. There God was in Christ and reconciled the world. You and me, he reconciled with himself. All our transgressions, all guilt, all sin, he laid upon the Lamb of God so that we might have peace. Yes, that we might be made the righteousness of God, and has quickened us together with him. And then it says, by grace ye are saved. Verse 6. And has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In the eyes of God, the church is already perfected before the throne of grace. Because it's really a finished work for all eternity. Here belong still many, many scriptures. Also about the election, about the predestination, about the grace which God has given us. Just two more words. The one from Peter. Here in 1 Peter, the man of God wrote of the redemption. And I'm asking all, really all, who are here today, who didn't finish with their past, who didn't finish with their trouble, with what oppresses them, those who can't cope with it, please receive it today as a gift of God, from God. For each one of us, for each one of us is valid that we were reconciled with God in Christ by the cross. The blood was shed for our forgiveness. 1 Peter chapter 1 from verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. And out comes. Just as we were foreordained before the foundation of the world, so it's written here, of the Lamb of God, but with the precious blood, and then, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. For you, It happened for you and my sake. It happened for you and for me. And it happened with you and with me. We are crucified with Christ. We died with him. By the baptism, we are buried with him. And we rose with him to a new life by the power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In the last verse, it says here, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. One could read verse 23. One could read and again read. Let us go to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. Verse 9 and 10. And they sang a new song, saying, thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation. Amen. Hallelujah. And hast made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Brothers and sisters, it is a finished redemption. And to summarize it, to us, God's word was revealed, so that we do not interpret anymore, but receiving everything as it is written, establishing the connection from scripture to scripture, and really receiving it as a teaching from God. For thus it is written, they all shall be taught by God. And that's how it is written. Teaching shall go forth from Mount Zion, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. It went forth. Pentecost took place in Jerusalem. The outpouring of the Holy Spirit, the founding of the New Testament church. All the doctrines, everything was given to us by God. Please, let us not just be listeners and spectators, but let us ask God today that something supernatural happens with us. That God today can manifest his presence. That we really received the word by faith, and that we also experience the things which God promised. The Lord is faithful. He will help us. He helped us up to this day. Now, just one more question. How many are grateful that God has revealed to us his word? Amen. Amen. That we really are being taught by God, being led into it. And I say it honestly, I'm grateful to God that I didn't bring anything with me. Everything what we have at this place, this we received from God. And this, we just pass on, and we give all the glory to the Lord God. And we are thankful to him for the sending of all the servants, of all the prophets, of all the apostles, grateful for the Old and for the New Testament, grateful for the sending of Brother Branham. We all would have remained in darkness. No one of us would have known what God has promised in His Word for this time, and no one could have had part in that, what God is doing right now. If the Lord would not have sent His servant and prophet with a message. But with His going home, the message didn't go home. It was left to us, and we may carry it into all the world. And we thank God that the preparer of the way has come, and that we can walk on a straight way. Brothers and sisters, today, just now, we will have the Lord's Supper. You all know the words, the scripture from Matthew 26. You know the scripture in Mark chapter 14. You know the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And from 1 Corinthians 11, all these scriptures are known to you. Mark 14 is one of the most fitting scriptures in reference to the Lord's Supper. Mark 14, verse 22. And 23, and as they did eat, Jesus took bread and blessed and broke it and gave to them and said, take, eat, this is my body. And he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank of it. And he said unto them, this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many. We all know the cup was not poured out, but the blood of the covenant was poured out on the cross. The wine was drunk as a symbol and in remembrance to the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. And all we, who we by the blood of the Lamb were redeemed and who experienced the forgiveness and grace, we partake of the supper as a memorial meal, because thus it is written, this do in remembrance of me. This, as often as you drink it, this do in remembrance of me. That's how it is written here in Matthew 26 from verse 26. And that's how it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Here we have the words of Paul, who gave a summary of that, what our Lord already said. I just read 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 23. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body for you. This do in remembrance of me. In remembrance of me. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. This we also want to do tonight. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen. Perhaps we stand up and we pray together. And then we will ask our two sisters to sing us a song which fits to this occasion. Let us first thank Heavenly Father. We thank Thee with all our hearts for the finished work of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Dear Lord, I pray, I ask for forgiveness of all guilt, of all sin, of all transgressions. Forgive us all. For if you wanted to impute sin and transgression, who could stand before you? And we remember the word, who forgiveth thee all thy sins, and who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, and who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Precious Lord, in the Old Testament, it was a prophecy. In the New Testament, it is the fulfillment. We thank Thee with all our hearts and with all our souls for it. Precious Lord, may all, also our brother from Hamburg and our sister from Hamburg, who are here today for the first time, may your Spirit come upon them, upon all of us, that they experience and receive the forgiveness and the redemption and the salvation and the healing. Dear Lord, have thine own way with all of us. And we thank thee for the power of your blood and of your word and of your Spirit. And we give you the glory in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Preis sei unserem Gott. Preis sei unserem Gott. Oh, Halleluja, es ist vollbracht. Ja.
Oh, Halleluja, es ist vollbracht. Mein Christus hat mich frei gemacht. Vom Blatt und Bild, vom Fülle und Leid, wo Jesus ist.
Er hat mich so geliebt.
Ja.
First we thank and then you can sing. Brother Russ, please take each one a bread. Faithful God, we thank you from the depth of our hearts for the finished work which happened on the cross of Calvary. You have given your body. You were bruised for you and for me. And this is in remembrance of you. This bread represents your body. It was broken on the cross of Calvary. We thank you, faithful Lord, for this bread. We thank thee for all who partake of it. May they be blessed in the name of the Lord, of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. My God, as honor and glory were given to you already, you, O Lord, you as the body, you were broken. So we pray, we ask you, Lord, to bless this bread, which is here in memory of you, the body which was broken. So we also break this bread in your presence, and we ask you, each one who partakes of it, Lord, each one who experienced you, each one who became your inheritance, whoever partakes of it, bless from the riches of your grace. Amen. Amen.